Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, well, welcome to Norman Knight. We're coming to you live from Bowie, Maryland, just like we have once a week for most of the past 3 years. This is our second show since moving to Monday night, and I'm really excited that I'm back here and live. So what are we going to talk about tonight? Well, that's pretty much up to you. I think, as everyone knows, the Russians did have their referendum yesterday in Crimea, and as expected, they voted overwhelmingly to become a part of Russia. Crimea has historically been part of Russia and was only added to the Ukraine in 1954. Kind of a weird thing the way that it happened. But the fact is, Crimea is on the Black Sea, and the Russians did fight a war against the British in order to obtain it, and they're not giving it up. They're not going to let anybody who is not their ally, or actually underling probably, ever have part of it. Hey, guest 6087, welcome to the chat room. We're glad to see you there. If you've got anything you want to say, why just put it into the chat room, and of course I'll take it to the audience at large. Or if you want to talk about the Ukraine, about the situation in Eastern Europe, about Mr. Putin, then please, you can call me directly at 347-945-6713. Another guest is logged into the chat room. Guest 6184, we're glad to have you here. I'm assuming that everybody can hear me. Can somebody in the chat room just verify that I'm coming through loud and clear? Just say, yeah, we can hear you, Norm. I don't know what you had for dinner tonight, but I had a wonderful meatloaf dinner with macaroni and cheese and green beans, and I really liked it. Winter sure is hanging on here in the Washington, D.C. area. We probably had our biggest snowfall of the year last night. And, of course, school was canceled today, and that presents, you know, some scheduling rearrangement problems to us. But that's never, you know, I've been a teacher now for 34 years, and so I've never been one to get all worked up over the schedule. You know, my initial reaction is, okay, tell me what you did on this day whenever you were in high school. And gosh bless it, nobody can remember. Although this day might be easier than others, and I'm really sorry that I forgot to wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day when we came on the air. Almost let 5 minutes go by before I said happy St. Patrick's Day. I don't know. If somebody doesn't call me and I have somebody to talk to, how long I can talk to here. One interesting thing, I went to my writers group last night, which is always interesting. Always interesting at writers group. And a new person came, and I don't know if they're out there listening or not. But I just give a shout out to David, who's now part of the writing group, a really interesting man. I ended up staying at the writing group last night and talking to him for, oh gosh, I got home about 10 o'clock, I usually get home about 8:30. They're very nice to us at the cafe at Wegman, and so I'll give them a free one-up. Wegman's, you know, everybody talks about it, really is a wonderful supermarket, and it is, except Wegmans commit the ultimate mortal sin, in my view. They won't let the union into the stores, and that really has always bothered me. So, if you don't want to talk about the Ukraine and what the United States should do about it, because frankly, I don't think there's anything we should do about it and nothing we actually can do about it, even if we wanted to. It is a Russian national interest of the First Reich, and they're not backing off on it. They will go to war over it. I don't believe they have much choice. And though it's a war in the long run, it would be likely to win. They still have nuclear missiles that are pointed at us, and who knows what would be left of anything after a war like that, win or lose. And so, different people have different ways of looking at the world. And to try to drive the Russians out of Crimea, I don't think is something that we really have anything to do about. Can you hear me in the chat room? Somebody say, hey, Norm, we can hear you. Type it, please. You know, because I don't want to be just talking to the wind. If you do want to call me and talk to me about anything really that moves your soul, 347-945-6713 is the number. I'm sure my West Coast buddy will call in soon, and I'm kind of looking forward to that. And I'm on this computer here tonight that just, you know, I don't know, it just gets me all balled up. There's two people in the chat room. 6184 is here, and Norm is here. And I just want to make sure I didn't run my usual voice check on the microphone, and I'm really hoping I'm not just speaking to the air. Nobody's responding to me from the chat room, so maybe that means nobody can hear me. I really hope that's not the case, because that would disturb me a lot. But anyway, 347-945-6713. One of the things I'm really kind of sad about is that I spent way too much time watching Morning Joe, and I don't really watch him anymore. It's the attitude of Mika Brzezinski that's really driven me away from the show. I really don't know what's happened to her, if it's who she really was or she got orders to change into what she is on the air, but it's really disturbing and I don't like it at all. If somebody doesn't give me a call, I'm going to have to just keep talking, and that really is making me weary tonight, and so I don't know how long I'll stay on the air. I hope that you can hear me. One thing would be really interesting to do, I haven't done this in a long time, is go to my Twitter feed and see what is coming to me on Twitter. I should be logged straight in here. The e-learning. Oh, now they're adding characters. Elizabeth Bride comes through with a nice tweet here about how doctors use 3D printing to help a baby breathe. Katrina Vanderhoeven must watch on Jindal. Medicare and suppressing free speech. Staying silent on free speech. It's a very confusing tweet. I guess I'm supposed to go to some link here. I'm not even sure. There's all kinds of stuff here. I'm not seeing anything really interesting. There was an e-book that's been reproduced on important historical meetings. I don't know how interesting that will be. Hey, here's a tweet from Stephen Downs. I don't know. If you don't know Stephen Downs, he's worth a tweet because he had some extraordinarily interesting ideas, particularly about online education, but actually education of any sort. Let me see if we have, we got nobody called in here. Nobody can seem to hear me. Got 6184. Can you hear me? Somebody just say yes. So I'm sure I'm not just talking to the wind. But let me go back to my tweets and see what's happening. I just, I don't get any interest in Nancy Rubin. Oh, there's Stephen Downs again. Oh, Paula Nagel. I haven't heard, wow, whoa, nothing interesting is here. So here, maybe this will get things perked up, anybody that's out there. What does anybody think about what the congresswoman from Minnesota had to say about gays bullying the rest of the country? Or what do you think about what's happened in Boston and New York, where the gays were not allowed to march in the parade? So the mayor of New York and the mayor of Boston refused to march in the parade. Now you're going to have to walk around with a big sign on you that says, you know, hey, I'm gay, hey, I'm a hetero, hey, I'm a trans, hey, I'm a lesbian, I'm a gay man. I don't think it really makes any difference. And until it doesn't make any difference, there will be and can be no real equality. Ten ways to make Twitter a better educator. 10 ways Twitter makes me a better educator. Well, let's go take a look at what Justin Chart has to say here. Well, 10 ways Twitter makes me a better educator. One, Twitter is the most powerful tool in helping me take control and responsibility of my own learning. Okay, well, cool. Twitter enables me to, number two, Twitter enables me to share and allows me to be precise with my sharing to those who need information that is relevant to them. Okay, number three, Twitter allows me to share my ideas and share my thoughts on education with the masses. I don't really think the masses have Twitter, but I guess you can share it with more people than the sound of your voice will do. Number four, being actively involved in Twitter and other social media spaces gives me credibility when working with others on being connected. That's true. It's hard to tell somebody to be connected if you're not. Number five, Twitter allows me to develop and enhance my own personal digital footprint. Okay, I'll give you that. Six, Twitter allows me to reach out to educators from across the globe. Allows you to do it easier, no question about that. Seven, Twitter provides me timely, relevant, and up-to-date information about the hottest and most current trends in education. Well, that might be true. I don't know if that's a benefit. Eight, I'm able to connect with and learn from the most well-known and most current education experts. Nine, Twitter helps me understand who I am as an educator. And finally, 10, Twitter gives me a boost of energy and inspiration and frankly reaffirms the work that educators all over the world are doing. Oh, gosh. Yeah, you know, all these things are true, and you just got to start using it is the bottom line about everything. I got a caller coming in. Hey, go ahead, 916. You're on with Norm at Night.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. I guess you can hear me. Finally, somebody.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I just... I plugged a new microphone in, and I should have tested it. I didn't. Well, it's not really new, but I haven't used it with this computer before.
Oh, okay. Well,
so,
yeah,
what's going on? Go ahead, sorry.
Not much here, you know. They had an earthquake down in L.A., and, you know, it was a little one, nothing big.
We had an earthquake here.
I did
get a chuckle about all the people at Barnes & Noble. My baby, where's my baby?
Yeah, well, you know, a 4.5 doesn't get any attention around here. You know, now the last big one, well, that was in San Francisco. That was enormous. We felt it here.
That the one there in the baseball
pit? Yeah, same one. Yeah, I went to the city about a week afterwards, and of course the bridge, you know, the Bay Area bridge, that Oakland bridge, was
right.
You know, destroyed, and so you had to drive around and come up through the south on Highway 5, but then once I got in town, holy God, I couldn't believe. You know, there were like these overpasses that were just cut off. You know, they just went to nowhere. And then, the Marina District, that was practically uninhabitable. I mean, you couldn't, because it is built on the wreck, all the waste from the big earthquake. All those buildings, all that rubble, they had just stacked it up over there and built new land with it. And then they decided to put houses on it. So then you get that quicksand effect.
Oh,
so if So that's what happened. All the water comes right up through that. And that was terrible. But and the people on the bridge, I can't imagine. I mean, it was amazing how many people survived. If you can imagine, you know, because it had a, you know, there's two lanes. There's one on top going into the city and one on the bottom going out of the city. And the whole top, all that concrete fell right down on them. They were, I mean, these cars were crushed flat. But somehow so many people made it, you know. So, yeah, that one. The only other one, oh, yeah, there was the one in Coalinga. Now, at that time I lived in Monterey, which wasn't that far away.
Monterey, Battery Row.
Yeah, that one, I remember I was out, you know, we had a balcony on the second floor, and we had these hanging plants. I was out there trying to water the plants, and I kept missing. It took me a while to realize what was going on. You know? And the birds were going crazy, and squirrels running all over the place. And then the people start running out of the house, and it was, oh, that was insane, you know. So that one, and that.
If you want to join the conversation, I know you're out there listening because I can see you. If you want to join in and chat with us, it's 347-945-6713. There's plenty of lines open.
Yeah, I'm looking over your itinerary here. Let's see. What do you want here? Popular culture. The Crimean referendum.
Yeah,
now, can we assume it passed? I haven't heard yet.
It passed overwhelmingly.
Yeah, that figures, you know.
You know,
so,
I guess people only like democracy when it goes their way.
Yeah, that's a thought. Well,
you know, I wonder what would happen if all the Hispanics in Texas voted to go back to Mexico.
Do you know, we may have a referendum on our ballot to divide the state up into six different new states. I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
I don't think so. You know, I mean, everyone cites, you know, West Virginia, but I don't see that ever happening. For God's sake, every county in the country would do it just to get, you know, the representation and more money, you know. God. So,
but I don't think the Congress would accept any of them.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, this referendum, you know, let's face it, Ukraine's going to get, what, maybe $15 billion to shut up and get on with their business. That's pretty much the deal, right? I mean, nobody wants to mess with any of those pipelines.
Well, if the Ukrainians get too mouthy, the Russians will simply say, the old president's still the president.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, I don't see, the Russians really don't want to occupy, you know, the Ukraine. I mean, that would be a disaster for them.
I don't know if it would.
Oh. Well, they couldn't occupy and hold Afghanistan, so what makes you think they can hold the Ukraine?
Because there's lots of people in the Ukraine who speak Russian.
Yeah, that's right. And
it's traditionally been a part of Russia for 700 years.
Right. Well, but see, unlike Afghanistan, if I may quote Dick Cheney or Rumsfeld, there aren't any good targets. But in the Ukraine, there are a lot of big targets. So yeah, we're you know, they if
you're,
you had any kind of part.
So you're sitting in the office and you get the word from, you know, the Russian tanks have crossed the border. What do you do?
Uh-huh. I don't know. It happened in Hungary. We didn't do anything. It happened in Czechoslovakia. I don't remember us doing anything.
Happened in Poland.
Yeah, you know, but...
Reagan never did anything. For all his bluster and talk.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do after they blew up that hotel for the Marines? Nothing.
Oh, yeah, that was... Yeah, I know. Nobody likes to talk about that one. Mm-hmm.
You know, what did he do when the Iranians take hostages? He gives them missiles to get them back.
Yeah, yeah. And for the same time, you're giving Iraq all the chemicals to build chemical weapons. So, you know. Yeah, that was a crazy war. We were on both sides of it. So what can you say?
Yeah.
You knew if either side won, then it upset the balance in the region.
Yeah, when Osama bin Laden's killing Russians, he's a hero.
Hmm. So I think the only commentary I made today was... Well, it was called an isolationist, you know, of course, right? Because I said, you know, the Crimea is a Ukraine problem. The Ukraine is a Russian problem. Iran is an Israeli problem. And I went on and on and on. So tell me which one of these are an American problem, because they're, you know, we don't have any problem.
Well, we don't have any problems.
Well, we have our problems at home. That's what I was getting to.
Yeah, our buddy South Korea is destroying the American steel industry.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned, what were they, dumping steel, underpriced, or?
The saw market, they developed a pipe and tubing steel industry.
Hmm. Yeah.
They don't sell a pound of it in Korea.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to, I'm sure if when they say yes, I'm pretty sure they will say yes, with the pipeline, it won't be built with American steel.
Yeah, well, we have, let me think. Oh, I think the biggest pipeline producer is, if they're still around, Shaw. That used to be one of my favorite companies, a long time ago, though.
And that's right, you were captain. Oh, I forgot.
Shaw Industries, yep. Let me see.
It's pretty neat days with all the market activity.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone's expecting some kind of correction or what have you, 5%, 10%, I don't know. I don't think we're going to have a really active year, but the thing is that American companies are they are cash rich. They have more money than they know what to do with. So what are they going to do with it?
It's worthless,
well,
if they don't do something with it.
Yeah, well, you either, you can buy back your own stock, you can, which most of them have done, you can declare special dividends, Or you can buy some other company and expand, you know. So that's a lot of what's going on, but they still have an insane amount. I mean, I think they estimated like, $4 trillion on the book, something of that sort.
Really?
And I don't know that that's counting the money that's stashed overseas. There's over two, maybe $3 trillion there. That money's not coming home.
But it doesn't do you any good overseas.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I look at, say, like industry just in my own state, you know. It's declining every year. We're losing, I forget, over the last 4 years, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of manufacturing jobs are just gone. You know, now, some of that is companies moving. Some of it is automation. You know, technology's improved. But take, for example, Tesla. Now, Tesla is headquartered here in Silicon Valley. And they've received enormous subsidies and tax breaks from the state of California to be here. But now they want to build a new battery factory. And do you think we're looking at California? Hell no. They said in their very first announcement that they're going to build it, they said it will be a western state, but it will not be California. So here's this company, you've given them, you know, like $65 million in benefits, and you're not getting anything back from them, you know. But we do that with the film industry, too. We don't get that money back from...
More film industry.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is the way production is done with films, you don't need those big studios in that anymore. And you don't need all those technicians. They, you know, those jobs are real, you know, all the animation is gone. That's all, nearly all done in China or India.
Actually, a kid I used to teach. He went to college in some weird thing and, you know, really didn't care about what he did. But one day he just decided to become an animator.
Mm-hmm.
Turned himself into one.
Yeah.
You know, and he's making a living at it.
Oh, wait, didn't you do a show on him one time?
Yes.
Yes, yes,
His actual name is, we'll just call him Chris. Taught him when he was at St. Mary's. It's really pretty interesting.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
in my kids, they have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They went to college. They don't have huge student debt. My daughter Karen, who just got married, has none.
Mm-hmm.
My son Greg, his are long paid, well, the little he had. I mean, his university was paid for by kicking a soccer ball.
Oh, cool.
My daughter Margaret, you know, she's got a nice job. I think she's away in a business trip. She's got a nice job now. I guess, I mean, but they're making money. They're not living off me.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Well, that's kind of hard for me since I don't have a whole lot of money.
Wow.
Actually,
well,
on the radio.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you and I did, you know, we let the military pay for ours. I mean, you know, that was the trade-off, you know. You can have my life for so many years, and then I'll take this, you know. So, you know.
But, oh, we got a foot of snow today.
Ah, jeez.
That was unbelievable. Well, last Wednesday in Buffalo, they got 18 inches.
Yeah, when I go on Facebook, that's all I hear about, you know, snow here, there, you know. And the Great Lakes freezing over, you know.
Right, 86% coverage, the most in 30 years.
Yeah, so.
Even the deep ones closed.
Yeah, So, yeah, I try to be, sympathetic, so I don't tell them. We've been in the 70s all this past week, and we'll be in. I mean, I think it was like 80 yesterday. You know.
Have a coach?
Well, there's we still need a lot of rain. I mean, we've only got. I don't think we have more than 25% of our normal rainfall. So we're still facing a drought. That's definite. It's coming.
The weird thing here is I don't even know what the weather will be like. By Friday, the temperature will be in the 60s. So all the snow, it's going to be awful.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing is everything is happening early here, too. Like the plum tree has already blossomed and is done. The orange trees are getting ready. Sometime this week they'll be flowering. The rose bushes are just starting to flower. And I'm looking. I looked all around. I can't find a single aphid. Where the hell did they go? I mean, I'm always dealing with aphids, but I can't. There's none. I can't find one of them. So, yeah, it looks like some of the birds are coming back because
I saw robins the last week. So spring is here. It's just this last blast of winter. I don't know where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
The yard goes dead except for the bird feed.
Yeah, it's for the birds had been disappearing for quite a while, and I didn't know, you know, it was getting alarm big. I mean, where they are they? I don't hear birds singing. I don't see them anywhere. Nothing but this damn blue jays. Well, I kind of figured it out. The hawks have been coming in because wherever they live, there's no food, so they come here and they raid all the nests and, you know. So they do that a couple times each summer, and that's where all the birds are going, you know.
Yeah, I got a big hawk that just cruises above my yard waiting for the birds to come to the feeders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're, and see, because there's redwoods around here, so they get up at the top of these redwoods, and they can see everything, you know, and then they just zoom down, boom, and they got it, you know, it's that simple. So, and, you know, I mean, it pisses me off. There's, like, you can't do anything about it, you know. That's nature, right? So.
Yeah, well, speaking of American popular culture, I finally found out what twerking is.
What's that?
I finally found out
twerking. Oh, yeah, twerking. You didn't know about that? I thought that would have.
I sat through a whole session about how what's her name, Miley Cyrus. Appropriated black culture, and it's only because of her white privilege that her album goes to number one. And it's the real person who invented twerking. Nobody pays any attention to black sexual named Big Frida.
Yeah. It's not something I want to watch on television. And I don't want to see kids. And I don't want to see kids doing it either. So, you know. And I'm not prudish or whatever, but it's, you know. You can do.
Speaking of doing Netflix.
Well, you know, it's like. Well, I don't know. When I watch The Daily Show and Jon Stewart and that, and, you know, he's very funny. But when he swears, it ruins it for me. Because he's not pretending to be the news anchor anymore. Because the news anchor wouldn't say that. So he kills that whole thing, you know, the premise, the idea, the basics of his show. So, you know, I wish he wouldn't do that, but he does.
Give him a letter. Give him a call.
I guess I should. So, let's see. What else was there? For some reason, I went from... you know, when I was doing a little research on the Crimea, you know,
uh-huh.
sort of what the history is and all that, and
uh-huh.
I never knew that that was a major center for the slave trade. And as it turns out, the Tatars, when they ran the place, of course, they all converted to Islam, and they would capture Ukrainians, Poles, Lithuanians, mostly Ukrainians, and sell them to the Ottoman Turks. And their estimate is, I think they controlled Crimea for like about three centuries. And the estimates are that they sold over 2 million slaves to the Turks.
Well, over the first... the first group of slaves that came to the Americas were white Slavs. They
Irish.
Were not all... No,
yeah.
these were Slavs.
Well, there were... that is another area that I might get into as well. The Irish slave trade was enormous. I mean, the British were genocidal. I mean, they planned to wipe them out. There is no question in my mind there. And, let's see. Oh, then the Scots were good, too. Whenever one of the local clans needed some extra money or thought he had too many people, sell off a village or two. And, And then, of course, the pirates, you know, the Barbary Coast pirates... They raided every coastline in Europe and would capture, again, whole towns, you know. And so then, you know, you have to ask the question, why did the Islamic countries need so many slaves? Because we're talking, 100 million maybe. And as it turned out, there was a crop that they specialized in. That was sugarcane. So apparently, they needed all these slaves because production of sugar was, you know, very lengthy and difficult process.
Yeah,
and the other problem they had was this, that very few of their slaves survived very long.
Well,
because
very
they had
few slaves that drove sugarcane. Survive at all. In fact, in the American slave territories, the only place where there wasn't a natural increase in the slave population was in Louisiana, where the sugarcane plantations were.
Yeah. Well, see,
the British Sugar Islands just millions of people died on the trigger point.
Yeah.
That Haitian revolution was so ugly and brutal.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Muslims had this nasty habit of castrating all the males, and generally they didn't survive that. So that's why they need. I think only even of the Sub-Sahara where they were also. What's that?
Wait. Where did the Muslims grow sugarcane?
Oh, all over the place. Any place you got water and heat. Syria, Lebanon, Iran, Iraq, they were growing sugar all over the place.
I've never heard this before.
Yeah, that was their big product, and that really generated the money to keep the empire going. But you had to have the slaves, you know. And what happened, of course, is once sugarcane production took off in the Americas, well, of course, that destroyed the market for them. And then they eventually collapsed, you know.
They grew sugar to make rum.
Well, yeah, you can do that.
Well, that's what they did. Yeah, they made a little molasses, hot
right,
dog.
Right.
Rum.
Yeah.
It was all rum. You know, not Domino's or rum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one island in particular, Montego.
Uh-huh.
And on that one island, there were something like 30,000 Irish slaves were sent there. And they worked the fields right alongside the African slaves. And eventually everyone intermarried, and I think they even spoke Irish right up to the beginning of the 20th century. Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So everybody on that island has some Irish in them, you know.
Maybe that's where the president comes from.
Yeah, well, so, it was kind of weird, you know, because when I usually find a topic and then it links to this and it links to that, and, you know, and so I've kind of viewed, you know, over the last month or so, the whole spectrum of slavery from, let's say, from the 15th century on, and... You know, and the thing was that nearly everyone did it, you know, and as for Christians, Muslims, and Jews, of course, they had their Old Testaments, which...
It was a system of labor. It was the only system of labor that existed at the time.
Uh-huh, yeah, we could call it that. But prior to that, you could be a serf and you're married to the land. I mean, you come along with you're part of the property, right? So
come along with the sea.
So, but anyway, yeah, it just made me think, you know, and especially, you know, our education, you know, in elementary school and even in high school, you know. They were all called indentured servants. Well, that was a crack. That was total lies. I mean, there was nothing called. There were no indentured servants. You know, I mean, if you took a 20 or 25-year-old guy and said, okay, we're going to send you to the United States, to the colonies, and you'll have to, if you work 20 years, you'll get your freedom. Well, 20 years, the average lifespan didn't even go that long, you know. And they're going to get worked to death. And the other thing, this is kind of interesting. It was not a crime to kill an Irish slave. you could beat him and whatever, but there was no, there would be no criminal charges whatsoever. So, and the other, this is kind of interesting too. Black slaves were highly valued. They would command, you know, 50 pounds sterling, whereas an Irish slave was only worth 5 pounds. Supply and demand, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why one is... What's that?
Where do you find all this stuff?
There's a book. If I can find it. Yeah, actually, I did post a link, but it was quite a long time ago, to this book. And here it is, The Irish Slave Trade, The Forgotten White Slaves.
And who wrote it?
Stinking computer won't work for me. Oh, White Cargo. It is by... Oh, Don Jordan and Michael Walsh. And it's the Forgotten History of Britain's White Slaves in America.
And when was it published?
Let's see if I can find a pub date on that. 2008, I believe.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. Okay, the Irish... hang on. White Cargo. The
That's
Forgotten
the title?
History... That's the title, White Cargo. Now, the Irish slave trade began when James II, a Catholic, sold 30,000 Irish prisoners as slaves to the New World.
Right.
Ireland quickly became the biggest source of human livestock for English merchants. Majority of early slaves in the New World were actually white. Now,
I knew that, but I didn't realize so many of them were Irish.
Yeah. So from 1641 to 1652, 500,000 Irish were killed by the English, and another 300,000 were sold as slaves. Population went from 1.5 million to 600,000 in a single decade. And if that's not genocide, I don't know what is.
Well, they really were pretty rotten guys.
Yeah. Why yeah, they, just... you know...
Why won't this go into my, I want to read this book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, what I'm reading now is just a review of it, but it has quite a bit of content, even though it's just a short review.
Okay, here it is. I don't want to read it. I want to add it to my
Yeah. Well, I thought it would be appropriate to talk about this on St. Patrick's Day. Why not? But I think, you know, the, you know, as I look at Irish history, I mean, it's just one big tragedy. There's, I'm trying to find the good parts, and there aren't any, you know.
Right, a million people left Ireland and came to America because the English, the potato famine came and the English wouldn't give them food.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they exported plenty of food during that time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's on St. Patrick's Day. And God forbid, you know, Well, if you talk about this around any African Americans, they call it a lie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the other two is that if you didn't get killed or sold as a slave or die from disease, you know, or work to death in a workhouse, the survivors still had to deal with the Catholic Church and all that cruelty. It wasn't like anyone got away with anything. You know, there was going to be something. So whether it's laundry houses
all you readers out there or listeners out there, keep in mind, we've now got next week's topic. There's no question about it. Irish slaves in America and Australia, because I know, hey, there's thing. Why isn't the, why isn't the turquoise, wrote my PhD on Aquaman. Okay, that's cool.
Oh, here we go. I got the island wrong in the Caribbean. I had said Montego or something. Yeah, it's Montserrat. And at one time, 70% of the population were Irish slaves. So there was one other statistic that came up, and I haven't been able to verify it. You know, it sounds a little bit unreal, but okay, at the time of the Civil War, if you could take the North and the South, if you took in the North all of the factories and farms, all of the business, let's say the GDP, it would amount to $2.5 billion. In the South, if you took the value of all the slaves, it would be $3 billion. Now, that's pretty amazing, because that gives you, you know, it allows for another motivation for the war. I mean, if these guys had $3 billion invested in slavery, obviously they're not giving it up, you know?
Well, no one, there's no question about the emancipation of the slaves after the American Civil War was one of the greatest transfers of wealth in the history of the world.
Yeah, yeah. But I never knew those numbers before. You know, like I say, I don't know where I can verify that, but I'm not willing to accept them until I can get some other proof, you know.
I'll tell you, there's a wonderful book that you should read if you're interested in it. It's called Time on the Cross, and it's by a guy named, it's by a historian named, it's Robert Fogel.
Magnificent.
That's been panned by the historical establishment. The guy won a Nobel Prize in econometrics. They said his data was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not for this book. It was for something else. But they said his data was bad. He did some different kinds of analysis. Well, we're coming right down, believe it or not. And thank you for calling. And next week, everybody out there, we're going to talk about Irish slavery. But we got about 45 seconds left. Anything you want to say before you go?
No. I'd like to wish everyone a happy St. Patrick's Day. You know, don't drink too much. You do have to work tomorrow. Well, some do and some don't. But hey, I hear St. Patrick wasn't Irish.
He was. He was Italian.
Yeah, I know. I never knew that.
Yeah. I was Italian. You know a lot of that stuff. But anyway, I'm at Ciao, baby, and we'll see you next week. The topic, Irish slavery in the Americas. This is
okay.
Norman signing off. We'll see you later. Thanks
Take
for
care,
calling.
Take care, Norm. Good
Bye-bye.
Night.
Bye-bye. Good night.